Genesis 3, please, and verse 8 is our text, where we're going to begin, the initial text. There's a couple of others I'd like you to turn to with us. Genesis 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Think of the words at the end. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. One of the things, especially, that we associate the autumn and the harvest with is the trees. At this time of the year, our attention is irresistibly drawn to all the trees that are around us. Often, we never look at the trees at any other time of the year, but because of the leaves that are changing colour and the so many colours that are before our eyes in such a beautiful fashion, and because the trees are losing their leaves and the leaves are lying all around on the ground, because of the work that's done, even taking the fruit from the trees, those things and many others cause us to lift our eyes and to take notice of the trees in a way that we maybe don't do at any other time of the year. So I want to emphasize that to you. At this time, this season, we consider the trees in a special manner. And that's what I want us to do today in this morning harvest service. I want us to think about the trees. I want us to consider some trees that are mentioned in the Bible. There are many trees that are spoken about in the scriptures. It's interesting, if you read the journal that McShane and Bonner kept, when they went to the promised land, Palestine, it was called in their day, even the knowledge that they had of the plants and the trees and the shrubs and the references that they're able to cite of those many trees in the scripture, I would commend the reading of that journal to you. The study of the trees of scripture is something that is very full and very lengthy. But in this meeting today, I want us to look at four prominent Bible characters, all of whom were associated with trees, and all of whom were found in different positions at a tree. And if we follow the four characters very carefully, we will have a simple and yet a powerful presentation of the gospel message. The title of the message today is The Gospel in the Trees. And encourage the children in the meeting as well. If you try to take note just of the different trees, the different people, the different positions that they're found with regard to those trees. So let's begin with Adam. Think of him here in Genesis 3, verse 8. The words that we've read, it says that Adam and his wife hid themselves. And where did they hide? They hid from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. We can say of Adam that he's behind the tree. Adam behind the tree. Genesis 3 gives us a historical account of the fall of man and the entrance of sin into this world. To emphasize to you, this is a vital chapter in the Bible. In fact, we'd have to describe it as a fundamental chapter in the Word of God. Just to help you as well, to bring to your attention, remember the great salvation chapters in the Bible. And they're all threes. Genesis 3, you find the reason for salvation. John 3, you find the reality of salvation. Romans 3, you find there the results of salvation. So all the great salvation chapters in the Bible are chapter threes. That helps us to remember them. But as you think of Genesis 3, remember that God had created Adam and Eve holy. God had placed them in a perfect surrounding. In Eden, they had fellowship with their Maker. But then the devil came and he tempted our first parents. And just to sound a warning, men and women, that the devil can still tempt you and I to sin against God and do things that are displeasing in his sight. The result of that temptation was that they disobeyed God and they broke God's commandment. And remember, that's what sin is. Sin is a breaking of the commandment. Sin, as the word of God teaches, is a transgression of the law. And that very evening, in the cool of the day, God came to spend time, to spend fellowship with Adam and Eve. But because for the first time they felt their sin and they felt their shame and their guilt, what they did was they hid themselves behind the trees of the garden. Instead of running to God, as they ordinarily would have done, they ran away. Instead of enjoying fellowship with God, what they experienced that day was fear. Adam behind the tree. And what that teaches us, men and women, as Adam's in that position, looking out from behind the tree, it teaches us the great gospel truth of the separation of the sinner. Adam, by his disobedience and by his sin, had cut himself off from God. He was driven out of the garden, and he was never again allowed to re-enter into the Garden of Eden. Paradise was lost to our first parents. His fellowship, his communion with God was now broken. And let me stress to you, so it is with the whole human race. So it is with every unsaved person, every sinner, even in this meeting today. Sin has separated you from God. And how awful that position is, men and women. Remember the words of Isaiah? Your sins have separated between you and your God. Think of Paul writing to the Ephesian believers. Now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off. In other words, what he's saying is, those who are unsaved, those who are out of Christ, their spiritual position is that they are afar off. They're far away from God. They're far away from hope. And they're far away from heaven. An unsaved person, you need to see that as you sit in the meeting today. You and God are poles apart. Between you and your Maker, there is a great gulf fixed. I wonder, is that your spiritual condition this morning at the harvest service? The solemn truth is this, men and women. If you die without Christ, that will be your condition forever. Just ponder that. Think of it. Take it in. Separated from God for all eternity. There's a day coming that he will say to you, depart from me. And how awful that declaration will be. So Adam, behind the tree, teaches us about the separation of the sinner. Can I ask you to take the Bible, turn over to the New Testament scriptures, come to the Gospel of John. I'd like you to see the verses and the words for yourself. John chapter 1, and it's the verse 48. The fourth gospel, the gospel of John, the first verse, or the first chapter, in the 48th verse. We're reading here about Nathanael, and it tells us Nathanael saith unto him, this is to the Lord Jesus, he's speaking, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. So Adam was behind the tree, and you'll see that Nathanael was under the tree. Remember, that's a common position for men in Israel. The Old Testament tells us every man under his vine and under his fig tree. The reason for that, of course, is to get shade, to get shelter from the sun, just as Jonah did under the gourd when he was sitting outside the great city of Nineveh. Nathanael probably had been praying, meditating upon the scriptures as he sat that day under the tree. The text says, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. The Savior saw Nathanael. And let me underline, he didn't just see his form. He didn't just see his bodily appearance. It was more than that. The Lord Jesus saw his heart. That's why the Savior said, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. The Lord was looking especially at his heart. Those words come from Psalm 32. It is one of the marks of a converted person. The psalmist said, "On whose lips there is no guile." In other words, no deceit, no treachery. And Nathanael that day was startled. He was surprised by how much this stranger knew about him. And that's why he asked, "Whence knowest thou me?" You see, this man that he met, the Lord Jesus, had an extraordinary knowledge about Nathanael. Nathanael had never met him before, but yet the Lord Jesus knew all about him. The Lord Jesus knew what sort of man he really was. And the Lord Jesus knew every thought that was going through his heart and mind. Nathanael under the tree. Adam behind the tree taught us about the separation of the sinner. Well, Nathanael under the tree teaches us about the seeing of the sinner. You see, men and women, the Lord Jesus could see Nathanael, and he could see him through and through. He could see his heart and his life as it really was. And I want you to know this morning, the reality is that he sees you too. He sees your heart this morning. He sees your life. Do you remember those solemn words recorded in the book of Hebrews? "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Men and women, that's reminding us of God's all-piercing eye. He sees you today. And he sees you as you really are. Think of the words of Hagar, "Thou God, seest me." Think of what Solomon taught us. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Not a frightening thought today. Never forget, men and women, that when no other eye can see you, his eye always does. Never fool yourself into thinking that God didn't see. God doesn't know what I did. The psalmist reminds us of secret sins. Sins that no one else knows anything about. Sins that even those who are closest to us in this world and in this life know nothing about. But remember, you can't keep secrets from God. He's omniscient. In other words, there's no bounds, no limits to the knowledge of our God. Peter said to the Savior, "Lord, thou knowest all things." Not a sobering thought today. He knows all about you. All you've ever done, every sin you've ever committed. You remember the Lord Jesus, when he healed the man that was sick of the palsy? The Lord Jesus knew the Pharisees, knew the thoughts, knew the things that they were thinking, what was going on in their mind. Would you like your thoughts to be known? Even your present thoughts? Well, remember, Jesus knows. The seeing of the sinner, he can see you through and through. Think of the woman of Samaria. "Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did." There was nothing in her sinful career that had been hidden from the Lord Jesus. And you think of that today personally as we apply it to all in the meeting. The Savior saw all the things that you've ever done, that you ever did in your lifetime. Every vile, every wicked transgression of his law, he saw it, he knows about it, he recorded it. Nathanael under the tree, the seeing of the sinner. Come back a few pages into the book of Luke, the familiar portion, chapter 19. Luke 19, and look there at the verse 4 of the portion. This is the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, Luke 19, verse 4. And it says that he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. So we've seen Adam behind the tree and Nathanael under it. Here's the case, up the tree, or in the tree. Remember that the Lord Jesus is here in Jericho. It's a historical city in the Word of God. Remember the first place the children of Israel conquered in their conquest of the promised land. Jericho's down in the Jordan Valley. It's known as the city of palm trees. It's full of palm trees. Zacchaeus, the man that we're thinking about, was a publican. Just in case you've made a mistake, that doesn't mean that he owned a public house. Doesn't mean that he ran a pub or a nightclub. Zacchaeus was a tax collector for the Roman government. And he was curious that day because he'd heard the Lord Jesus was passing through town and he wanted to see him. But Zacchaeus wasn't very tall. Remember the Old Testament Saul, the first king of Israel, he was a man who was tall, long of stature. Dr. Paisley's father, Pastor Paisley, used to refer to Dr. Paisley and Harold as long fellows because of how tall they were, even from a very early age. Well, Saul, the first king of Israel, was a long fellow in that regard. Well, this man, Zacchaeus, was the opposite. He was a man that was little of stature. And he had an idea. He ran ahead of the crowd. He knew the route the Savior was going to take, and he climbed up into a tree. Isn't it true? There's a lot of little fellows climbing trees at this time of the year. Well, Zacchaeus wasn't climbing a palm tree, even though the city was full of them. Palm trees are hard to climb. Zacchaeus clambered up into a sycamore tree. The sycamore tree that he climbed into wasn't the same as ours. Don't make that mistake. If you look carefully at the passage and look carefully at the spelling, you'll see that the two trees are not spelt in the same way. They were different trees entirely from what we refer to as a sycamore tree. The sycamore tree in Israel is a type of fig tree. Isn't that interesting? To think of all the things that happened at fig trees in the Bible. Begin with the Garden of Eden, where we commenced our study this morning and sowing the fig leaves together. But Zacchaeus was startled that day as he set up the sycamore tree. And you know why he was startled? Because the Savior stopped. And the Savior looked up into the tree. And he spoke to Zacchaeus and he called him by name. It's not an example of the knowledge of Christ. He knew all about Zacchaeus. He knew where he was. He knew who he was. He knew him by name. But what we learned here, men and women, we saw the separation of the sinner and the seeing of the sinner. Well, here's an example of the seeking of the sinner. Can I remind you this morning, men and women, especially those out of Christ, that Jesus Christ is the seeking Savior. The important fact in the story of Zacchaeus is not that Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus, and that was true. The important truth, men and women, is this, that the Lord Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. He's the seeking Savior. He's seeking for sinners. He's seeking for those that are lost. You look down the chapter to verse 10 of the portion. For the Son of Man has come. And here's the reason why he came. Here's the why the Lord Jesus was manifest in the flesh and came down to earth from heaven. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I want you to know at this harvest meeting today that he's seeking for you. You're lost. And just think of how fearful that position is. Think of what it means to be lost here on earth. But think of how much more terrible it is to be lost spiritually, to be lost in your sin, like a sheep gone astray. It's not a good farming picture, good farming illustration. The sheep that has gone astray, is not what Isaiah said? All we like sheep, do you see yourself? We have gone astray. And the reality, men and women, is this. You're going to a lost eternity. And what that means, oh, that we were able to impress it upon your heart afresh this morning. Oh, that you would see it as you've never seen it before. The fact is, men and women, is that you're in danger of being lost forever. Going to a lost eternity. But there's good news. And the good news is the Lord Jesus is seeking for you. He's seeking for you in this very meeting this morning. And the reason that he's looking for you and seeking for you is simply this. He wants to save you. Save your soul. Save you from your sins. and save you from hell, from that lost eternity of which we've spoken. Adam behind the tree and Nathaniel under the tree and Zacchaeus up the tree. There's one other very precious men and women, and that is Christ on the tree. Remember, that's the theme of the whole Bible. All of the Old Testament types and prophecies all point to Christ suffering on the accursed tree. Remember Abraham, Genesis 22, laying Isaac on the wooden altar. Moses lifting up the serpent of brass on the pole before the gaze of the children of Israel. What are those things, men and women? They're pictures, they're foreshadowings of Christ on the tree. You'll know that the New Testament has several references to Christ on the tree. Think of what Peter said in the book of Acts, speaking to the Jewish leaders, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Think of what Paul said again in the book of Acts, when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree. Think of what the book of Galatians teaches, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. You know, it's an interesting thing, I'd encourage you to look for it. There was one word that Peter never used. It's very interesting, even if you think of Romanism and how much they make of the cross and how much they make of an image or an effigy of Christ on the cross. Peter never used that word. Peter always referred to it as the tree. I encourage you to look for that. Take time to study it for yourself. Do you remember the words of the old poem? Can you hear the dull blow of the hammer swung low? For they're nailing my Lord to the tree. Christ on the tree, men and women. I urge you to fix your thoughts, fix your attention upon that sight. Remember what Paul said in the book of Hebrews, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And that's what I appeal to you to do at the close of this service today. We've learned a little about the separation of the sinner, the seeing of the sinner, the seeking of the sinner. Here, men and women, is the great truth of the salvation of the sinner. Here's the question. Here's the vital question. Why was the Lord Jesus on that tree on Calvary's brow? Why were the nails in his hand and in his feet? Why was he crucified? Why did he die such an awful death? Well, think of what was said of him. Judas said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. Think of Pilate's wife. Have thou nothing to do with that just person? Pilate himself said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. Well, if he was just, and he was, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, if he was just and if he was innocent, why was he on the cross, men and women? Well, Peter gives us the answer. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He was there, men and women, dying in your place, bearing your punishment, obtaining salvation for you. You know, there's a beautiful thought that ties the Old and the New Testaments together. Man fell into sin through the work, through the actions of the first Adam at a tree in a garden, the Garden of Eden. But man's salvation from sin was provided by the work of the last Adam, as he's referred to in the book of Romans, the Lord Jesus. And that work was finished at another tree in another garden just outside the city walls of Jerusalem. The salvation of the sinner. Can I ask you, men and women, do you have that salvation today? Are you saved this morning? And can I take it even a step further? Not just saved, but sure. The assurance of God's salvation. Let me emphasize, men and women, one of the things the harvest reminds us of is the swift passage of time. Doesn't it seem no time from last we gathered here at these harvest services? Another year is gone. The words of the old hymn, many summers you have wasted, ripened harvest you have seen. Winter snows by spring have melted. And yet you linger in your sin. Remember the need of the salvation of your soul. There's nothing, men and women, more important in this world. I know there are many things pressing in upon you today, to do with the home and to do with work and to do with business. Remember, there's nothing more vital than to know that it's well with your soul, that your sins have been washed away. Do you know that today? Do you have his salvation? Ever been by faith to the cross? Ever been by faith to this final tree that we're thinking of in our study this morning? Can I remind you in the words of the old gospel hymn, and we'll sing a verse or two of it in a moment. It's the way of the cross, men and women, that leads home. No other way. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There is no other way but this. If you want to be in heaven, then you must first get by faith to Calvary. And I plead with you to do that today. The message of the trees, or the gospel in the trees. Adam behind the tree. Nathan or Nathaniel under the tree. Zacchaeus up the tree. But Christ on the tree. As you think of the trees, men and women, and the pulpit so aptly reminds us of them this morning. As you think of the trees this harvest, this autumn time, think of these lessons from the Word of God, these gospel lessons, these gospel truths. And may the Lord be pleased to bring you to Christ in salvation. It's 200.